This week, Parshas Amor is a unique intersection. A unique intersection of the Parsha and Inyan D'Yoma. Because there are three major Parshios HaMoedim over the course of Chumash. As we had the opportunity to see in earlier weeks, Chumash Shemos is a very significant and repeated focus on Shabbos. But the focus on Yom Tov, there are references to Yom Tovim over the course of Chumash Shemos, but the three major treatments of the Yom Tovim in Chumash, the three Parshios HaMoedim, in Chumash Vayikra, in Chumash Bamidbar, in Chumash Devarim. In Chumash Devarim, in Parshios Re'eh, it's a focus on Aliyah L'Regel. The Parshios HaMoedim of Chumash Bamidbar, Parshios Pinchas, that tends to be the Maftir on the Yom Tovim, that's a focus on the Musafim. And here, in this week's Sedra, Parshas Amar, the first of the three Parshas HaMoedim, the Parshas HaMoedim of Vayikra, focuses primarily on the Mitzvahs Hayom, the Shofar of Rosh Hashanah, and the Lulav and Esrig of Sukkot, and so on and so forth. And it's the first of the two times that the Chumash speaks about Sfiras HaOmer. And so you come to Parshas Amar, Sfiras HaOmer is at the crossroads, at the intersection of Inyan Yoma and Parshas HaShavua. So I'd love to seize the opportunity we have today to learn together and to learn Sefer Chinuch together, to focus on mitzvah and meaning, to use that to focus on this intersection, to look specifically in the week of Parshas Amar at the mitzvos of Omer. I say mitzvos of Omer because Sfiras HaOmer is a count from the Korban HaOmer. We're going to begin with the Korban HaOmer and Mitzvah Shin Beis, and then we'll pivot from there to the Mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer and Mitzvah Shin Vav. Let's take a look inside the Sefer HaChinuch Mitzvah 302. The Mitzvah's Korban HaOmer Shel Sa'orim. The mitzvah bringing a korban of a small amount of a couple of pounds of barley. Shenakriv biyom sheni shel Pesach, and the second day of Pesach, which min haTorah, and in Eretz Yisrael to this very day, the second day of Pesach is the first day of Chol HaMoed. Yeser al haMusaf shashay mei haPesach. In addition to the korban musaf, which is brought on every single day of Pesach, ka'ela, every day of the 7 days you bring the same korban musaf. The two parim, the one aisle, and the seven kevasim. But the first day of Chol Moed, additionally, you bring keves ben shenasola ola, a single sheep, a single young yearling sheep as a carbon ola, together with omer echad shel seorim. One measure, one omer of seorim. Omer is a measurement. It happens to also be the measurement for hafrashas challah. If you use an omer of flour, which we usually assume is somewhere between 3 and 5 pounds of flour, that's when if you use an omer or more of flour in your recipe, that's when the halacha of Afrashas Challah kicks in. And it's that same measurement, you know, somewhere between most of a bag of flour and an entire bag of flour, that would be used for this korban, the korban ha-omer, on the second day of Pesach, the first day of Chol HaMoed. And that's what the Torah tells us, Kisavoa Alara, to come to Eretz Yisrael, the Havei Semes Omer Reishis Kitzirchem. It's the first of the cutting. Jewish farmers in Eretz Yisrael are not supposed to be harvesting grain before Pesach. The first harvest of grain anywhere in Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be this Korban HaOmer. The first harvest of grain happens at the very beginning of Chol Moed Pesach, and it's brought as a Korban. What's this all about? What are the Sharashe HaMitzvah? Misharashe HaMitzvah, after his discussion about the fascinating details of the procedure of bringing Korban HaOmer, Misharashe HaMitzvah, what's the larger thematic significance? How does bringing Korban HaOmer shape us as Jews? Misharashe HaMitzvah, some of the ways in which the Korban HaOmer impacts us, says the Sefer HaChinuch, Kedeshin is bonein. Mitoch HaMasa, going through this procedure of Korban HaOmer, this procedure of ensuring that the first harvest of grain anywhere in Eretz Yisrael is brought as a carbon on the first day of Chol Moed Pesach, this event, this process gets us to be misbonin. It gets us to reflect upon a chesed ha-gadol, sha'osa Hashem Baruch Hu im briyosav. It gets us to be mindful of the annual gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, the annual divine favor, which is l'chadesh lehem shana shana tibu l'michya. It gets us to be mindful, it brings us to notice that HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chazdo v'tuvo, with his goodness, every year another crop grows. That there's an annual cycle and food comes every year. We take it for granted. We take it for granted the sun rises every day. We take it for granted that spring comes once a year and the flowers are beautiful and the green is cheery and that the fruits grow and the grain grows and so on and so forth. We take the agricultural cycles and the astronomical cycles for granted. The mitzvah of Korban Omer gets us to stop and appreciate it. Appreciate that chesed. How does this work? It is a struggle. It is easy. It is natural to not take notice of constant ongoing chesedim. Ra'ui lanu she'nakriv lo baruch hu mimena. It makes sense that we ought to bring a carbon from the beginning of the harvest. Before we can enjoy personally the new crop, we first give some to Ribbono Shel'Olam. And that's a reminder that this is all a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mitoshin yeru uin libracha behechsher ma'aseinu lifanav, and understand that we gain personally from this sort of awareness, from this sort of mindfulness. Because the more we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role in our lives, the more we are ru'uyin lebracha. The more we tend towards bracha, the more open we are to divine bracha. The more aware we are of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more we invite HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives, the more we invite divine blessing into our lives. Tis barech tu oseinu v'yishlam chefetz Hashem banu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do good. Chafetz Meirov Tuvo Bevekaras B'yaso, Ribbono Shel Olam, create the universe. As Rav Sadia Gaon taught us, as the Ramchal teaches us in a number of Svarim, Misiel Sharman, Derech Hashem, and Das Tfunos, and so forth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't need to create the universe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't need to create people. He chose to because he wanted to be beneficent, because he wanted to do good for others. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was interested in doing good for others, and so he creates good, a context for delivery of goodness, and he creates the others. We, who are the recipients of divine bracha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us untold goodness in Olam Haba, which we have the opportunity to create and to craft through the nisyonos, through the challenges, opportunities of Olam Hazeh. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us plenty of goodness in this world as well. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire to do good for us. And so the Sefer HaChinuch says, it's sort of in a remarkable cycle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us mitzvahs that shape us, that polish us into the type of people who are more open to divine blessing. And when we fulfill those mitzvahs, and when we shape ourselves into the sort of people that are more resonant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's brachos, we are thereby realizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's vision of showering us with bracha. So the Sefer Chinuch writes, the more we are aware, the more mindful, the more we notice divine blessing in our lives, the more we evoke more divine blessing. So the more we shift away from taking things for granted, and we open our eyes and notice, spring has come, that's a blessing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Farming, agriculture works, a blessing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The more we notice the brachas that are raised around us, the more likely we are to evoke even more brachas in the future. And so what he's telling us essentially is that the role of Karban HaOmer is to make us more aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement in our lives. So then he says, well, that's beautiful. So why day two? How do the details of this mitzvah correspond to the stated goal? If the goal is to make us aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why wait? Why not day one? Why not Pesach? So why are we waiting till Chol Moed? Why not have the Karban Omer on day one? Sefer Chinuch says, in principle, We could have had the Korban Omer on day one. Korban Omer is a tool for growing our emunah and bitachon, growing our awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role in our lives. That would have been appropriate on Pesach, but it's not. Shelo narev simcha b'simcha, he says. We don't want to mix the two different simachos. The simcha of Yetzias Mitzrayim and the simcha of the agricultural cycle. Give each one its space. Give each idea its time, its own time. Ki harishon, the first day of Pesach, nachon is already focused. Lezecher hanes hagal shotzionu baruch hu mi'avdus l'cheres. U'miyagon l'simcha. The first day of Pesach, the focus on Yetzias Mitzrayim. Leil haseder, matzah, moror. Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim and days of Beis Hamikdash, Karban Pesach. The first day of Pesach is a full focus on Yetzias Mitzrayim. The whole week of Pesach is a focus on Yetzias Mitzrayim, but the first day is entirely focused on it. That's when all the mitzvahs halayla of Leil HaSeder. So Shelo Na'rev Simcha B'Simcha. You want to give each joy. Obviously, he's borrowing the language of the Gemara in Moed Katan, which discusses not getting married in Chol HaMoed. Because you want to be able to have time when you focus on Simcha's Yom Tov and time when you focus on the Simcha of marriage. Ein ma'arvin Simcha b'Simcha. This is a similar sort of idea. Let's give time for the focus on the joyous theme of Yetzias Mitzrayim and a separate time for focus on the joyous theme of noticing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role in agriculture and not taking it for granted. If we could translate that, by the way, for a moment, if we could rephrase that, I think he's saying that the first day of Pesach is a focus on Yetzias Mitzrayim, in other words, on Nisim Niglam. The first day of Pesach is a focus on the open miracles, the utter suspension of nature, the utter suspension of science that happens at rare moments in human history. For instance, Yetzias Mitzrayim. One Makkah after another Makkah, Makkah's Bechoros, Kriyas Yamsuf. The Nisim Niglam, the rare moments when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is particularly evident in our lives, that's the focus of day one of Pesach. Korban HaOmer is a pivot. As the Ramban discusses at the end of Parshas Bo, you begin by noticing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's in the very obvious but rare moments of Nisim Niglim, like Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's step one. Then you want to pivot to noticing HaKadosh, use that recognition to then begin to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the more subtle and far more common, the ubiquitous, everyday, subtle Nisim Nistarim, the hidden miracles, the ways in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in our lives all the time, working within natural processes. And the truth is, that's exactly what the Sefer Chinuch is saying as well. The first day of Pesach, the Nisim Niglim, the open miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The second day of Pesach, we move to the Korban Omer. Now let's begin, now that we had that first day of Pesach with a sole focus on Nisim, Giluyim, and open miracles, now let's take the next step and begin to notice the subtle miracles, HaKadosh Baruch Hu within nature. To notice HaKadosh Baruch Hu powering nature. It doesn't just happen. It's by divine design and with divine chesed. That's what he says. The first day is Nachon, the first day is focused on the Neis HaGadol, the great and open miracle. But beyond then, Korban HaOmer on the second day, let's notice HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everyday life. And that gets us thinking about Sfiras HaOmer. Let's move from Mitzvah Shin Beis, the Mitzvah of bringing this Korban, a Mitzvah which we have not had the opportunity to fulfill almost 2,000 years, L'da'avoneinu, and let's move forward to Mitzvah Shin Vav, a Mitzvah 302 to Mitzvah 306, the Mitzvah of Sfiras Omer, of counting, beginning with the day of the Korban Omer. We begin the count on the second day of Pesach, the day that we're supposed to be bringing the Korban Omer. Here we are, Mitzvah Shin Vav, 306, Mitzvah Sfiras Omer, L'spar Tishav Arboim Yom, Yom Avas Omer, to count 49 days from the day that one is supposed to bring the Korban Omer, which is Yom Shisha Asar B'Nisan. That's the 16th day of Nisan, the second day of Pesach. Usvartem lechem imachoras haShabbos, the psukim in this week's parsha and the parshas Amodim, transitioning from Pesach to Shavuos, in between the Torah describes for the first time the mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer, starting with the day after Yom Tov. You're going to count miyom aviyachem es omer atnufa, from the day that you bring the Korban HaOmer, which we just explored. So that day is the one and only day of Korban Omer, and it's the first day of 49, first of 49 days of Sfiras Omer. And he goes on to discuss the fact that we count both days and weeks. As we know, fascinating sugya Maseches Menachos, a question about exactly what that looks like. We know what we do. Our practice is that we count in two ways, in two formulations, every night beginning with 7. From 7 to 49, we're counting both the raw number of days as well as dividing into weeks. Divide by 7 with the remainder. 30, which is 4 weeks and 2 days. 31, which is 4 weeks and 3 days. And so on and so forth. And now, let's take a look at Shorash HaMitzvah. So what are some of the ways in which Sfiras HaOmer shapes us? We do have the opportunity to fulfill Sfiras HaOmer. A debate amongst the Rishonim, whether Sfiras HaOmer nowadays is De'oraisa or De'rabanan, and perhaps may be a Machlokes Amoraim in the Gemara Menachos Samach Vav. We have not had the opportunity this year to bring L'davoneinu Harav. We were not able to bring Karban HaOmer. So some are of the opinion that the mitzvah d'oraisa Sfiras HaOmer only applies when you've actually brought the Korban HaOmer. We have not actually brought the Korban HaOmer, so that's a question. Sfiras HaOmer, miyom haviyachem HaSomer HaTnufa, means from the day you actually bring it, in which case there is no mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer min haTorah nowadays, and it is but a mitzvah d'Rabbanan. Or do you say, no, miyom haviyachem HaSomer HaTnufa is a description of the 16th of Nisan. Perhaps you mean the day, as Reb Chaim Brisker suggests, the day that you're obligated to bring the Korban HaOmer. We are obligated to bring it, we're just unable to actually fulfill. Okay. So that's a debate whether the mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer nowadays, the absence of Beis HaMikdash, is it a mitzvah d'oraisa or mitzvah d'rabbanan, but we know certainly, regardless of the nature of the obligation, we do have the obligation and the opportunity to count Sfiras HaOmer. How is this mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer meant to shape us? Misharash HaMitzvah. What are some of the roots of the mitzvah? Some of the themes that drive the mitzvah? Some of the thematic goals? How are we meant to grow through Sfiras HaOmer? Misharash HaMitzvah al tzad hapshat. He says on the most self-evident level, al pipshuto, he says, kol ikaron sheyisrael eino ela haTorah. The core of Jewish identity is Torah. That's what makes us who we are. Upnei haTorah nivru shamayim va'aretz. And not only is Torah core to Jewish identity, to the Jewish people, the truth is Torah is spiritually central to the entire universe. The Torah is not only of national Jewish importance, the Torah is of cosmic significance. Cosmic centrality. Kemo shekasuv, im lo brisi yomam v'layla chuka shamayim v'aretz lo samti. So the Gemara derives from this pasuk in Yirmiyahu, as the Sefer Chinuch is quoting, that the creation of the universe was, as we were just discussing several minutes ago, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Olam Hazeh in order to provide a platform for us to be challenged and have opportunities to live the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to live and to thereby create our Olam Haba. So we are here. This universe exists to enable living Torah, to enable learning Torah, and to enable living Torah. Nupnei haTorah nivru shamayim v'aretz. The universe, both this planet and beyond, universe was created because of Torah. V'hi ha'ikar v'hasiba shenigalu v'yatsu mitzrayim. Torah makes us who we are as Jews. Torah is ultimately at the core purpose, the telos of the universe of Olam Hazeh, and more specifically, it's why we left Mitzrayim. The leaving Mitzrayim was not an end in and of itself. Leaving Mitzrayim was the beginning of a journey. The destination was Sinai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu extracted us from Mitzrayim, the political freedom that we gained at Yitzias Tam Yitzias Mitzrayim, and that was solidified at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, the story of Pesach, or the stories of Pesach, they were a means to the ends of Matan Torah, k'dei she'kabulu haTorah b'Sinai v'kaimuha, so that we could receive the Torah at Sinai and that we could fulfill it. And that v'kaimuha, it means that the story doesn't really end with Shavuos either. the goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim was for Jews to get the Torah, then to keep the Torah, which is going to happen ultimately, primarily in Eretz Yisrael. Bris Ben Abisarim in Parshas Lech Lecha sketches the entire rest of Chumash. The entire rest of Chumash from the Bris Ben Abisarim on is Bereishis and Noach are the more universally focused parts of Chumash. Focus on the cosmos as a whole and on human civilization. From Lech Lecha and on, it's the story specifically of the Jewish people. And the story of Jewish people in Chumash is blueprinted in the Bris Ben Abisarim, that Nevuah that HaKadosh Baruch has Moshe with Avraham Avinu, where he says, you will be the progenitor of Am Hashem. In order for that to happen, your progeny will go into Galus and then emerge and get Torah and Eretz Yisrael. And that is, in a nutshell, the story of Chumash. The going down into Galus, the emergence from Galus to Mamad Har Sinai, to Matan Torah, and to the giving of the Torah, which begins at Sinai and continues over the course of the 40 years up until the very end of Moshe's life, and the journey to Eretz Yisrael, which continues up until the very end of Moshe's life. And the Torah finally completes in Parshas Vezos HaBracha with Moshe Rabbeinu having conveyed the entire Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael, and with Moshe Rabbeinu having, at HaKadosh Baruch Hu's behest, led Klal Yisrael to the very border of Eretz Yisrael. Arvos Moav on the eastern bank of the Yarden, overlooking the rest of Eretz Yisrael. They're already in Eivor HaYarden, and they're overlooking the west bank, the core of Eretz Yisrael. So we left Mitzrayim in order to get Torah, in order to keep Torah. And he says, I'll demonstrate to you that the telos, that the goal, the destination of Yetzias Mitzrayim was not just to be out of Mitzrayim, but to get to Har Sinai. He says, because you go look back at Parshas Shemos, that's the first time Har Sinai is mentioned. It's already mentioned in Parshas Shemos. Here we are, Paragimel. V'zeh lecha os, ki anochi shalachticha, v'otziyacha sa'am in Mitzrayim, ta'avdun es ha'elokim ha'ara, how do you translate that pasuk? This is the sign. This is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still seeking to convince Moshe Rabbeinu to take on the job of leading Klal, of going back to Mitzrayim, leaving Midian, going back to Mitzrayim, and negotiating with Paro for the release of the Jewish people. Let my people go. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, this is the sign. This is the sign that I have sent you. When you take the nation out of Mitzrayim, you will worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this mountain. What does that mean? That's the sign. Well, Perish HaPasuk, different Rishonim have different approaches to how to translate that Pasuk. And this is the Chinuch's Perish. Hotziacha Osami Mitzrayim, your succeeding in taking them out of Mitzrayim, your succeeding, when you succeed in extracting the Jewish people from Egypt, that Yetzias Mitzrayim, when it happens, will be the indicator that you will subsequently worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this mountain. Which mountain were they on? Har Chorev, another name for Har Sinai. Kolomar says, you know what this means? Shetekabalu HaTorah. When you get to Yetzias Mitzrayim, you'll know that you're in process towards being worshipping God at Har Sinai. In other words, what do you mean by worshipping God at Har Sinai? Accepting the Torah. Shehiyah Ikar HaGadol Shebishvil Zeim Nigalim. That was the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Itachlus HaTovah Shalom. And it is the greatest good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. Ve'inyin Gadol Hu Lehem Yosem Nacheres Miyabdes. And it's the gift of Torah is so much richer than merely political freedom from slavery. Political freedom from slavery was a critical step towards the far greater height, the far greater peak, the far greater accomplishment of Ein Lecha Ben Chorin U'Misha Osek B'Torah, the spiritual enrichment, the spiritual gift of Torah, and that L'chein Yaseh Hashem L'Moshe Os B'Tzei Sami Abdus L'Kabal Satorah. So then, because Kabal Satorah is far greater, Kabal Satorah is the goal, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the logical relationship as, when you see Yetzias Mitzrayim, you know that you're now building towards the greater peak of Mamad Har Sinai. You make the secondary item an indicator towards the primary item. So the Sefer Chinuch says, okay, let's take a step back now. We spent the last couple of minutes developing the idea that in addition to Torah being central to who we are as Jews and being central to the purpose of the universe, Talmud Torah was also the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And he spent the last couple of lines developing that theme. So Chinuch says, well, now that we have that settled, Mipnei Kein, if that's the case, that Kabbalah HaTorah was the goal, was the destination of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Yitzias Mitzrayim was the beginning of a process that completed, or that took to the next step, stepped up at Kabbalah HaTorah, accepting Torah, then subsequent living of Torah. If they came, Kihui Karan Shel Yisrael, if it's the case, now that we know that it's the case, that it is Torah at the core identity of the Jewish people, Ubavur Anigalu, Va'alu L'chol Kedush Ha'alu Eleha, and that Kabbalah HaTorah was the purpose of the freedom and the greatness that we were gifted at the time of Pesach. So then, understandably, Nistavinu Limnosni Machos Yom Tov Shel Pesach Ad Yom Nesinas HaTorah. That's why we can't. If there was conceptually a trail from Yitzias Mitzrayim to Matan Torah, one was meant to lead to the next. So we understand why we're counting from one to the next. Laharos b'nafshenu hachefetz hagodol al yom hanichbar hanichsav lilibeinu ke'eved yishav tzel. To demonstrate that this is a trail, this is a journey that we are thrilled about. The odyssey from being merely politically free to being spiritually uplifted, we want that. We're charging forward using the tools that we got at Pesach towards the goal of Shavuos. So that's why we count. Someone's out in the hot sun, the Eved out in the hot sun. Yishav tzel. He's shoeif. He's yearning for shade. That's us. We're yearning for the enriching gift of Torah. And that's what we're counting. We're counting to show our eagerness. We can't wait together. It's straight at marking off another day, another day, another day closer, another day closer. Counting shows a person, is an expression of a person he called Yisha'ovachol Chavtola Gilaz Manahu. If you're angling for that goal, you're going to naturally count. And he goes on to say, why don't we have a countdown? Why is it a count up? If a couple's getting married, a young man, young woman is getting married, so there'll often be a countdown chart at some point. Maybe siblings put it up on Chasna or Kala's the door of their bedroom, right? They count it down. At first you count down by the weeks, and then you count down by the days. At some point, count down by the hours, although usually at that point, when it's down to hours, usually no one has time to keep changing what it says in the calendar. But a countdown is a natural expression of eagerness to reach the goal. So Sefer Chinuch says, if my theory is correct, that Sefirot HaOmer is an expression of our enthusiasm, our eagerness, our yearning to use the tools that we get at Pesach to reach the goal of a Shavuos, the goal of a Kabbalah Sator. So why don't we have a countdown? So he explains. He says it'll be a little daunting. It'll be a little, it could be demotivating. You're going to start with 49? That's very far away. Right? Usually you don't start the countdown to the wedding on the Chasna or Kala's door 7 weeks in advance. You start with a little closer. You start out with a month maybe. 49 days to go, that's the little demotivates. We'd rather start with the smaller. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, let's build up. And he says, you know, we're not going to pivot the count, not going to change the way we run the count in the middle. Once you get to 25, we're not going to now start counting, after counting up to 25, we start counting back down, 24, 23, 22. It's a little awkward. He says, once we adopt one frame, we stick with it. And then he asks the question, 1 second, if that's the case, that we're counting from Pesach to Shavuos, from Yitzias Mitzrayim, which enabled ultimately Mamad Har Sinai, so then Halim Kein Lama Anu Maschil Lo Somi Machos HaShabbos Lo Yom Rishon. Why we can't start counting Sefirot HaOmer from day two, why not from day one, from Yitzias Mitzrayim all the way until Kabbalah HaTorah? Hatshuva, he answers, he says, you know why? Similar, somewhat, to what he said in Mitzvah Shin Beis. Pesach, the first day of Pesach, is all about the Nisim of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Os umofes bechidush ha'olam vashkachat Hashem yizbarach al b'nei Adam.
The Nisim Gulim, the open miracles, and here he's quoting the ideas and the language of his Rebbe's Rebbe, the Ramban, in that incredibly important closing comment on Parshas Bo. Ramban develops, and the Sefer Chinuch develops here as well, that Yetzias Mitzrayim was not only remarkable, not only allowed us to leave, as he's been saying up until now, it was instrumental, it gave us freedom which we could then use, invest in seeking Torah, but the episodes, the way in which we left, the nisim that accompanied our leaving, were osu mofeis bechir shalom vashkaros Hashem yisbarach al b'nei adam. Those nisim gluim were evidence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence, evidence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement in the world and in our lives, that he knows, that he cares, that he gets involved, that he manages. And we want to make sure to take the time to actually focus on the Nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim and on the lessons of faith and Emunah that we're meant to draw from that. First day of Pesach needs to be totally focused on the Nisim Geluyim of Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Emunah that can flow for that. That's why once again, he references the language of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. We don't want to take away focus. Okay, Niska Nachesh Yom Shenin B'Yad. The very next day, the first day of Chol Moed, we're already counting Sfiras Omer. But the first day of Pesach, that first day of Yom Tov, is entirely focused on Yetzias Mitzrayim itself. And then he goes on to say, well, then what? What does that have to do with the Korban HaOmer? So why are we counting from the Omer? Why are we counting from the first day of Pesach? Or even if we're not going to actually go through verbalizing a count on the first day of Pesach, he says, well, why not on the first day of Chol Moed say, today is 2 days. Well, why are we bringing in the Omer? What does the Omer have to do with it? So there are other approaches to Sfiras HaOmer, which focus primarily on the actual Korban HaOmer. Now, consistent with what we saw in Mitzvah Shin Beis, that the Korban HaOmer is about recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement in our lives, in the hidden miracles of agriculture and such. So many see the Sfiras HaOmer as counting from that recognition, counting, growing in our faith, growing in our emunah. Bnei Yisachar understands that the Korban HaOmer with its barley, the meager animal feed that we use for Korban HaOmer, that captures the spiritual state, you know, the relatively modest spiritual state that we're at the time of the Yetzias Mitzrayim, that we were passive recipients of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gifts. Isar Rusa de Le'ela. It was awakening from above. We didn't really evoke it. Bnei Yisachar and the Maamar Yud Beis and Nisan and elsewhere says it sort of counting from that very modest state of spiritual growth to the far more elevated state of Shavuos. We're ready, we've developed, we've matured, and we're not just being passive and reactive, we're proactively saying Nasev and Ishmael. That's how the Bnei Yisachar sees the progression of Sfiras HaOmer. But the Sefer HaChinuch sees it primarily as expressing the enthusiasm of Mamar HaSinai and highlighting the fact that Yetzias Mitzrayim was not an end in of itself, but it was a Kodesh Baruch Hu was giving us resources and we needed to invest them in the goal of Torah. So then why don't we count from day one? No, on day one we're totally focused on Yetzias Mitzrayim itself, the actual miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim, not about what the goal was. So then he says, then why not count from day two? And why are we bringing in, why not count two on the first night of counting? Because it's the second day from Yetzias Mitzrayim itself. And why are we bringing in the Korban HaOmer? He says, Ein lomar hayom kafakach yamim liyom sheni shel Pesach. You're not going to say, oh, today is so many days from the second day of Pesach. So yeah, cheshbon roi lomar liyom sheni. That's a very awkward way to phrase a numbering. So that's why his skin limnos haminim ha-shenasa bo. Instead of saying from the second day of Pesach, I would say from the Korban HaOmer. Because that's what happens on the second day of Pesach. Korban Nichbon. It's a very significant Korban. And as he reviews here what he said before, it is a zecher. It reminds that we believe that Kadosh Baruch Hu is involved in our lives throughout all the natural parts of our lives. But ultimately, for the chinuch, it's not really sphere. So Omer is not so much the growing recognition of emuna in Nisim Nestarim that the Korban Omer itself expresses, but it is rather sort of the next step, not just knowing that Kadosh Baruch Hu is involved, but actively asking ourselves, what are the gifts that Kadosh Baruch Hu has given me? For instance, freedom. That's the first one. But there could also be an example of many other gifts and resources. We are each dealt a unique hand of gifts and resources and talents and, yes, challenges by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And we need to do the work of looking in the mirror and asking ourselves, what has a Kadosh Baruch Hu given me? What opportunities has a Kadosh Baruch Hu given me? What tools has he given me? And how should I be using them maximally? How can I maximize my avos Hashem given the tools that Kadosh Baruch Hu has given me? Where am I meant to be focusing? If we just sort of coast through life, we'll be okay. But if we're proactive and take out the time to be misbonim, what am I meant to accomplish? What am I meant to do at any stage in life? What are the opportunities? What are the resources? What are the tools that Kadosh Baruch Hu has given me? What are the situations in which He places me? And how can I actively, enthusiastically, ambitiously, dynamically accomplish in Avodas Hashem? That is the primary dynamic of Sfiras Omer according to the Chinuch. It's the motion, it's the movement, I should say, from the tools that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives me to the goals that I seek to accomplish with those tools. From the Cheiros of Yitzias Yitzrayim that falls into my lap to the Kabbalah HaTorah that I can reach, that I can strive for using the Cheiros that I got. That is, for the chinuch, the primary focus of this mitzvah. And it's that enthusiasm that is meant to be re-sparked and refreshed every single night with Sfiras Omer. Rabbos, I thank you so, so much. Have a marvelous week, a marvelous Shabbos, and Mirtzem, a productive Sfira.